When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls. And for the first time since the last time, we are back. It's your friends, Jacob and Ian. And we are here at Ingalls and Ian podcast for CowboysRideForFree.com. And as always, your good friend and mine. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Happy to be back. Happy to do another one of these. Wish we were in the NCAA tournament, is what it is.
It should be. Things have been crazy for me. I was putting in like 80 hours a week at work for a couple of weeks in a row. So I've been that, and then got a concussion this weekend. So that was fun. So I apologize in advance if I start making zero sense, but we'll see what happens. So big news, Caleb Boone's deciding to return for another season. Looks like Boynton's keeping the band together for the most part.
So they've lost Donovan Williams and now they've lost Keelan Boone. This will be the first time since who knows how long that these twins are going to be separated on the court. I'll just look at Keelan Boone's stats real quick.
The prevailing theory is one of the issues is we're losing scholarships, right? Because of the NCAA thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many, but even one on a basketball team is a lot because there's not that many scholarship athletes on a NCAA team.
Yeah, that's always going to be a big problem when it comes to that. And I'm sad to see one of them go. But I think it would have been pretty bad if both of them left. So we got a guy, Caleb Boone, who played 26 games this year, 5.8 points, 2.4 rebounds, a really decent field goal percentage, 56.7. And 2 years ago, we had a 64.2 field goal percentage. So he's pretty solid, and he makes his shots when he has to. So I'm glad that he is still – around.
Yeah, it's really going to depend on if we can get a real score, because a couple people, they kind of showed up at the end of the season, but that's just the issue with this team, right? Is they couldn't really score a ton. But if they can start scoring more, closer to 75 points a game, they're going to be a really good team next year. But it's just that offense. Can we actually get a consistent offense? Because if that defense plays like it did, it's going to be really good.
So I will say this. I like where Bryce Thompson is going. I do. Toward the back half of the season, he was kind of hitting his stride. This year, 10.6 points, 6 points more than he got at Kansas. His field goal percentage improved. His three-point percentage improved. Everything improved across the board. And, in the against Baylor in that overtime, he had 15 points and 9 points against Oklahoma, 0 points against Iowa State, but 11 points against Texas Tech in that last game.
Yeah, he really did seem to start, coming on back half the season. So hopefully he can live up to that billing he got when he went to Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, he had a decent start. He had, 14 points, 12 points, but there was just a couple of times where he just couldn't get it together. Then he did really well down the stretch. He had multiple 20-point games in conference play. Shot really well for a lot of the games, a little over 50% for a few of those games, not all of them. He had a really good game against Kansas State. He's averaging 41.3, and I assume that this is also assuming that Avery Anderson is going to go in the draft. So I think that he'll become the primary ball handler.
That was about to be my question. Do we know if Avery's coming back or not?
I
haven't seen official one way or the other
word about it. I've been assuming that he's going to, because he tried to last year and he stayed. So,
I mean, he really, you want to talk about someone coming on late in the season. He came on pretty strong late in the season.
Yeah. Well, he'd always been a guy that had done that for sure. Like even in the, NCAA tournament last year, we were like, oh, shoot, Avery Anderson. Like, this will be the guy to replace Cade. And that role was kind of, it's hard to replace Cade. Essentially, going to be rookie of the year this year.
Oh, it would be a travesty if he wasn't. mean, who else would it be? I don't even know. I mean, I don't follow I don't follow the NBA that well, and even though I know he's going to be rookie of the year.
Well, there also is Evan Mobley, who's done a heck of a job in Cleveland. I mean, they're a sixth seed right now, but he's also playing with like Jared Allen. So I think he's like a power forward or something. But I think Cade has the second best odds. But I mean, yes. We'll see.
Yeah, Avery's last 1, 2, 4. Yeah, he put up 14 or double-digit points in 8 of his last 9 games, including multiple 20-point games, a couple 15-point games. So hope he comes back. That'd be a lot of firepower.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be really hype, but I also want to see the young guys get some play and time in, you know? Mm-hmm. I think, and again, I don't know if Likely's leaving or not, but we'll see. But I want to see what Rondell Walker, I want to see what some of their young guys can do. And the guys coming in, I know we got one guy coming in some school in Texas as a 4-star. Can't remember the name, but.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the basketball team. I didn't expect this many people to stick around. So just can we score? That's really the only question because we know the defense is good.
I think a lot of it will have to be on the back of Bryce Thompson for sure.
Well, let's see if he can live up to it. So transitioning over, what do we think of the new hire by the women's team?
I think it's interesting. She has had a NCAA tournament appearance at the University of Kansas City, which are called the Kangaroos, which I think is, you know, sick.
This feels like a very OSU hire in some respects, you know, because she is from this part of the world, you know, grew up in Kansas, played at Wichita State. She's probably dirt cheap. Her contract would not be that much if she's coming from Kansas City. No offense to anybody that went there, but that's not exactly your powerhouse program when it comes to women's basketball.
Yeah. I mean, the last two full seasons, 21-10 and 23-9, and I think they were going to make the tournament in 2020, if not for the pandemic.
Yeah, she won whatever their conference is, Summit League or WAC or something.
Yeah.
Coach of the year that year. Yeah. So, I mean, she seems good. It's an interesting hire going that young. But that is like the trend in most college sports now. Like how young was like Lincoln Riley when he got hired? He was like 30 something. You know?
Yeah. He was around the same age. Cause I think she's 34.
Yeah. 34.
And she's been around. Fort Hays State as an assistant, Nevada as an assistant, Kansas State as an assistant, now Kansas City. So she knows the area pretty well. She'll probably recruit to those.
About to say, Kansas. Like, she knows this area pretty well, and she's already kind of recruiting it. I mean, you know she's going to be coming down into, like, Tulsa, and, you know, especially eastern Oklahoma, trying to recruit mm-hmm. to Kansas City because it's not that far. It's only, like, 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. So, I mean, that's another reason I think it's, like, this is a very OSU hire. It feels like somebody, you know, that they're, like, okay, she can recruit. Things are built in, you know, from all of it. And I kind of feel bad for her because from all I can tell, she's inheriting just a really rough team. I don't want to call it a dumpster fire, but they were not good this year.
They were not. And it's kind of out with the old and with the new. I mean, Jim Littell was 66 in this last year. So getting some young blood in there and hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, they were
nine and 20
overall. It's just that's rough. Yeah, I mean,
81-65 record overall. That's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. And you know, she's 48-31 in conference play. I know it's a weaker conference, and she has, you know, zero NCAA tournament bids. But the WAC and the Summit League, they're a one bid lead, and you basically have to play perfect basketball for a week straight. I mean. And that's just how it is. So I think if people are concerned about the lack of tournament appearances, don't be.
I wonder, because you know it's got to be a question interviews, right? Like she must have just crushed how she's going to use that transfer portal. Like I wouldn't be surprised if you hear in the next like 2 weeks, like 3 mid-major transfers come over that are going to be doing serious minutes next season. Which is weird to say mid-major in women's basketball because there's really like 10 teams and then everybody else. It's getting better because it used to be like three teams and everybody else.
And look, like, you know, you're not going to compete with UConn. So try to do what you can. You do have to deal with Baylor, but if you can compete with Baylor, I think that is, you know, massive. I think that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, Baylor, they're very good. Good in all the basketballs. Yeah. So I really hope we see something good out of her. It sucks that the women's team has been kind of floundering for a while. It's also kind of sad to see, you know, the former coach go. Yeah. He was having, having a rough go of it, but you know, he took over the program in a really tough time when the crash happened in 2011. And, so it's always kind of weird when you guys let somebody like that go just because he was there, but you know, eventually it's still a business and you gotta win.
Yeah, you do gotta win. All right. What's next?
Let's see. Both the softball and baseball team, like at one point, I think the baseball team was like 7-6, and now they've run like 7 of their last 8 and or 8 of their last 9 and won 7 straight. So they're really rounded into form for conference play. The women, they lost that 3 in a row early in the season. They've lost 3 since. So they're really both looking like they're finally living up to their billing preseason.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if it just took just a little bit of, just a little bit of a push, you know? Sometimes you just need a little oomph to get you there, and sometimes you start out rusty. And I mean, you look at we're talking baseball or softball.
Yeah, both of them have been on crazy good runs.
I'm just saying, you look at softball, Miranda Eilish, who you know wasn't throwing her best stuff in the tournament in Florida. She now has like 2 no hitters,
right? And like third player of the week honor, like pitcher of the week honors or something.
Oh
like that.
Yeah. She's just getting awards on top of awards. So that's been really phenomenal to see. And she's gotten her groove back, which is really impressive to see because I was down a little bit, but it's gotten under control they end the Big 12 play against Texas Tech this weekend.
Right. And like Morgan Day, like she's been throwing a lot of nasty stuff as of late. She's got a no hitter, just all sorts of, you know, that we've just been, the pitching finally came around, I think is really what it boils down to.
The pitching, I feel like it always been there. No,
I mean, they weren't pitching to their potential because there was a while where our team ERA was way up there and it's come down quite a bit. So
I feel like it had been like a bat problem because I feel like we weren't raking in as much runs as we needed to. And I mean, now we're,
that is something that is also true because like, there were a couple games at the beginning of the season, 125, 120 batting average. But they've been hitting over 300 almost every game for the last month, and a lot of those games over 400. So, yeah, I mean, it's just everything's clicking right now. It's really just, you know, what it comes down to. I mean, it's still OU and everybody else, but, you know, there's a really good chance that the women are going to make a really deep run this year.
I just need to see what they do against like Texas, Florida State, and OU. I just want to see what they do there before I make any like decisions. They've done really well thus far, but against not necessarily lesser teams, but just teams that aren't like, they're not Washington or LSU, or they did well against Michigan that one day. So
one day. Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's going to, the tail of the tape will be once we really get into conference play, if we can play OU tight. Mm-hmm. But God, I hate to talk about OU, but so Oklahoma State's team ERA 2.19, OU's 0.71 ERA. That's just ungodly.
They are built different, man.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
They're built different. And that's all you could really say, man.
Yeah, well, here's hoping we can make a deep run and just like really start bringing in those recruits and transfers and all that stuff.
That's the goal. It's the goal, man. But this softball season is wild, so you never know.
Hey, man, it seems like 2021 into 2022 has been crazy. I mean, the NCAA tournament's been kind of crazy. You know, it's just been everything has changed with transfer portal and all that stuff.
Yeah, and baseball is, what are they ranked in that in the one of their polls? Because I think it's relatively high. I don't remember what it was. I think it was 9.
Yeah, last time I looked, I thought they were still top 10. Yeah, number 9 according to D1 baseball top 25.
Because they're on a 7-game winning streak. Their last loss was March 10th. Beat BYU twice in that series. Played really well against Arizona State as well. I don't know how far we've gone because it's been a minute. So, and then they've won, yeah, 2 straight at BYU, Dallas Baptist, and then clean sweep of Seton Hall. And they weren't relatively close, 10-3, 11-1, 8-4, 6-4 in that Seton Hall series. They have Oral Roberts tonight in a classic week game. And then they start conference play against Kansas.
The Big 12 is brutal in – So Texas is 2, Oklahoma State's 9, Tech is 16, TCU is 19. I mean, it's gonna be a tough baseball season.
I thought TCU would be higher than that. I guess they did just lose their coach.
Yeah, they're 14-5. I guess who they've lost against, because Ole Miss, who's number 1, is 15-4. I guess it's just who you're losing to, right? Oh,
yeah.
Tennessee.
Texas has lost to like Charleston College or something.
Baseball is weird. Like, you just the traditional powers are generally traditional in baseball, but that's been changing. Because if you look at the top 25, they're almost all for major conferences right now.
Oh yeah.
But it used to be like Coastal Carolina was really good, and Cal State Fullerton was really good, and that, you know, those kind of schools.
Fresno State
was always good. Yeah, but the only ones from non power conferences, you got Liberty. Well, Texas State is ranked 20th, and then Gonzaga, and the rest are all from major conferences.
This is a shame. It's a shame because they do a really good job at having the power now group of five conferences. So
yeah, man, that football money's flowing everywhere, because right now you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 SEC teams in the top 10. Top 8. Let me rephrase. Top 8.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do, man?
Just get better.
Yeah. Just be better. Be better, guys. So how's your bracket looking?
One of them's not too bad. One of them, I'm sitting at like 87%. Baylor going down hurt. That is for sure. Cause I had the final four in both my, both the brackets I did. So that hurts, but I'm still alive for my office pool. So because I'm second right now, and the guy above me had, I don't remember who they had, but they're already out winning it. So because I have the Zags winning it all this year. So if they go, so I've got a chance to win at least three more games than they do. So that'll be really good. I think they had like Kentucky or somebody winning it all. I don't remember.
I had Kentucky as my runner up. I had Arizona winning it all. So that was I was like, oh, cool. St. Peter's won. But at the same time, I was like, you got to be out of all the games, you know? Like, I knew Auburn was going to lose in the second round. And this is the worst part. Like, I picked USC over Miami. That stinks. I Wisconsin going to my Final Four for whatever reason. That's what.
A lot of people were high on Wisconsin.
Should have been high on Providence. I love Providence, and I said they would lose to South Dakota State. And I'm like, you. It's always the upset that you don't have, and I hate it. And the upsets you do pick, they lose. It sucks. I'm gonna do it next year. Totally gonna do it next year.
Boy, the perfect bracket, the first time ever, the perfect bracket.
I was not even about the perfect bracket. It's just like trying to be somewhat accurate with it. Like, if I were to get 3 out of the final 4 picks and the national champion right, I feel like that's a good day.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. But I mean, three of the, it, granted, is getting harder, especially with super seniors and transfer portal, but three out of four, because it tends to be, even once you get into the actual like Elite Eight, Final Four, it tends to get pretty chalky, you know, like a lot of two and three seeds and one seeds. So it's not, I mean, I think I've done like two of the Final Four and picked the champ right a couple of times, but yeah.
No, I was on a whim.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
Oh wait, you know what it was? So there was a graphic. It was like when North Carolina played Mount St. Mary's. It's like, or no, it was Nova that played them, and it was like, all right, well, they may, and then I think they got upset in the second round. It's like, well, whoever beats Mount St. Mary's in the first round always wins the national championship the following year. So for a year, I made a note like Villanova national champion 2018, I think, and they ended up winning. I was like, sweet.
Whoever beats Mount St. Mary's the year before. Okay. Good to know.
So like if they ever make it again, because I think North Carolina faced them in 2008, 1 in 2009 as well. So I got to find like their tournament appearance. I can do that later, but
yeah. And we got a spring camp for football is upon us. So I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of football news here soon. Gundy had some interesting stuff to say about the, like, what the university is doing for like the football program outside of like coaches. Apparently they've given like all the people in the football program who support it like a bunch of raises, so they won't go anywhere else. So that's the part of like, you don't see like all the people, you know, behind the scenes. You know, he was also talking about how, you know, he thinks with the transfer portal and everything, it's going to be hard to keep three scholarship quarterbacks on your roster.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be. But I kind of take everything in spring football kind of like a grain of salt, because the way I view it is that it doesn't matter. It matters in the
– For me,
this is your appetizer.
Right. Well, for me, it's more about, are the young guys making progress? That's really, you know – what I look for, because, you know, they're, you know, a lot of them first set of reps, you know, so, you know, and also something else I read that was interesting. And this is one reason why making a bowl game is so important. So, spring football is 15 practices. We got 15 extra practices because we made the Fiesta Bowl. We got a spring's worth of practices that a team that didn't make a bowl game don't get. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of practice.
Yeah. But
that's a rule the NCAA needs to change.
A lot of teams get that though.
Right. But a lot of teams don't. And that's why that's why a lot of teams tend to stay better, is because their kids are getting more reps. So I think I've thought this for a long time. The NCAA should change that rule to give basically a winter practice something, maybe not 15 practices, but maybe 10 or 8. Just so, because if you're always getting, like, if you're like, you know, Bama or Clemson or whatever, you're getting like 18, 19 extra practices a year. So guys way down your depth chart may or get more reps than another kid, right? So there really should be some kind of change there in allowing teams to practice during the winter when they're not in bowl.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But again, like baseball, you'd also just be better.
But it is a competitive imbalance, right? I mean, that's just part of it.
Yeah.
So make it a little bit more fair. Not that the NCAA likes to do that, but, you know, a boy can dream. But the practices is what's important about making a bowl game. The bowl game itself is great, but like if you want your football team to stay good, you got to be getting those extra reps in.
No, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. What else we got?
Well, I think that's all I've got. Kind of a short one today, not a ton to talk about right now. I'm sure we will once we start getting into conference play for baseball and softball and everything else. And I'm just happy to be back. Feels like I've been away forever. So thanks for coming out. Sorry it was a short one, but we'll see y'all next time.